I want you to imagine you're sitting on your couch on a Tuesday night, just mindlessly scrolling through your favorite e-commerce site.
Right, like looking for a new coffee grinder or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or just stocking up on paper towels. And right there, nestled in the recommended section between like a smart toaster and a bulk pack of batteries, is a humanoid robot.
I mean, it feels like a hallucination,
It
honestly.
really does. It sounds like a concept video from a decade ago.
Yeah, totally.
But let's ground this in reality because this actually happened. So let me set the scene for you.
Okay, lay it out.
It's February 2025. You're browsing JD.com, which is China's massive e-commerce platform. And on the product page is a robot standing 127 centimeters tall. So about 4 feet,
Right.
weighs 35 kilograms. You literally just click add to cart. The price is 99,000 yuan.
Which is what roughly the combined cost of a high-end laptop and a decent used car?
Exactly. You pay, the screen calmly says, 45 days until delivery. And a month and a half later, a functional humanoid is just sitting in a cardboard box on your front porch.
I mean, the fact that you can buy a bipedal machine with the exact same ease as ordering groceries is just a profound shift.
It's wild.
Because we have to rewind to just 12 months prior to that checkout page going live to really appreciate the whiplash here.
Right, because things looked very different a year ago.
Completely different. A year earlier, full-size industrial humanoid robots were averaging well over 1 million yuan.
Wow.
Yeah, and like Boston Dynamics Atlas was commanding upwards of 120,000 euros.
So the price didn't just, drop, it plummeted off an absolute cliff.
It really did. It was a fundamental reclassification of the technology.
How do you mean?
Well, for decades, robots of that caliber were considered assets.
Right.
You didn't just buy them with a credit card online. You spent 6 months writing a university research grant. You navigated endless procurement committees.
Just miles of red tape.
Exactly. And eventually, a crate arrived like it was a piece of highly sensitive scientific equipment.
And then that JD.com listing just turned this multi-million dollar research asset into a consumer good overnight.
Yes, exactly.
Which gives us the perfect roadmap for our deep dive today. We are going to unpack exactly how the robotics industry managed to shatter its own price floor at such breakneck speed.
It's a fascinating timeline.
It really is. And we'll explore why the primary buyers for these incredibly cheap machines aren't who you probably assume they are.
Right, that's a huge misconception.
Yep. And finally, we are going to uncover the hidden high-stakes software war that this flood of ultra-cheap hardware is actually funding.
Because the hardware is just the beginning.
Exactly. So, to trace how we arrived at that e-commerce checkout page, we need to look at the specific catalyst, right? The machine that effectively broke the market.
The Unitree G1.
That's the one.
Yeah, Unitree, they're a robotics company out of Hangzhou. They actually announced this medium-sized humanoid back in May of 2024.
Setting that 99,000 yuan price tag on day one, right?
Right. February 2025 was simply the moment they bypassed the traditional corporate sales channels and just opened it up for direct consumer purchase online.
I want to clarify something for the listener here because when you hear the phrase cheap robot, you probably picture like a glorified remote-controlled toy.
A hollow plastic shell with some LED lights
Oh,
blinking.
yeah, exactly. But the G1 is a highly sophisticated piece of engineering. It folds down to just 69 centimeters, which makes it incredibly dense and compact.
Yeah, the form factor is super impressive.
And when it stands up, it operates with up to 43 degrees of freedom.
Right, and for context, degrees of freedom dictate the number of independent movements a joint can make. So 43 means an astonishing level of flexibility.
It's approaching human articulation, right?
It really is. But, you know, agility without strength is pretty much useless in robotics.
Fair point.
The knee joints on the G1 alone can output 120 newton meters of torque.
Which is a lot of power for something that small.
Definitely. Plus, it packs a 9,000 milliampere hour battery for a solid 2 hours of continuous operation. And it navigates using a proprietary 3D LiDAR system to map its environment in a full 360 degrees.
And the hands. We have to talk about the hands. You can opt for these three-fingered hands that use something called a force position hybrid control.
Ah, yeah. That is a crucial piece of technology to understand here.
Break that down for us.
So, historically, robots were programmed purely by position.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning you told the robotic hand to close to an exact coordinate, say 2.5 centimeters.
Okay.
If there was a steel block there, it closed fine. But if there was a soft tomato there,
It just crushed it.
exactly. because it only understood coordinates. It didn't understand resistance.
So how does this hybrid control actually fix that?
Well, think about how you pick up a paper cup of coffee, right? Like with your eyes closed.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
You don't know the exact spatial coordinates of your fingers. Instead, your brain is constantly reading the physical resistance, the tension in your muscles.
Oh, I see.
Force position hybrid control allows the robot's onboard processor to calculate its spatial positioning while simultaneously measuring the pushback it receives from whatever it's holding.
So it's feeling its way through the motion.
Yes. That is how the G1 can gently pick up a raw egg, sense the fragility of it, and then literally a moment later apply enough torque to smash open a bottle cap.
That mechanical empathy is just wild.
It's a huge leap forward.
But despite all those impressive specs, the moment that truly burned the G1 into the public consciousness wasn't a delicate egg handling demo, was it?
No, definitely not.
It was the World Robot Conference. Unitree brought this machine out, and instead of having it do like a synchronized dance routine or something safe.
Right, like we usually see.
They put it in a boxing ring with an actual human being.
Oh man, the footage of that spar was an absolute viral sensation.
I bet. I mean, you have a person wearing boxing gloves just actively throwing heavy punches at the machine.
And the robot is taking hits, staggering backward, getting knocked flat onto the mat.
And then just scrambling right back up to its feet.
Over and over.
To me, this represents a complete paradigm shift in engineering psychology.
How so?
Well, we spent decades treating robots like a priceless, custom-built Ferrari. You keep it in a climate-controlled garage, you dust it off, and you pray nobody scratches the paint.
Right, because if it breaks, you're out millions.
Exactly. But now we're treating them like a rugged Jeep. You actually want to take it off-road, smash it into some rocks, and dent the bumper just to see what it can handle.
I love that analogy. And that shift from Ferrari to Jeep was actually the explicit strategy of Unitree's CEO, Wang Jingxing.
Really? Just build it to take a beating?
Yeah. If a robot's taking haymakers in a boxing ring, the implicit message to the market is that failure is suddenly affordable.
Because you can't learn how to walk in the real world without tripping over a curb?
Precisely the point. By selling these units cheaply and en masse, you create a massive distributed sandbox.
The sandbox for testing.
Right. You let thousands of these machines loose in the world to take a beating, fall downstairs, drop objects, and every single failure generates a wealth of sensory data.
And then that data goes
where it's fed back into the central algorithms, which makes the entire fleet smarter over time.
Wow, okay. But that flywheel of data collection only works if the initial hardware is cheap enough to trigger that mass adoption in the first place.
Exactly. The hardware price is the key to the software data.
Which brings me to a wall I just keep hitting when I'm looking at our sources for this deep dive.
What's the wall?
How is this physically possible? I mean, if you tell me a robot has 3D LiDAR, hybrid control fingers, and joints that can take a literal punch, I just don't understand how you manufacture that for the price of a used Honda Civic.
It sounds impossible.
The raw materials alone should bankrupt the company, shouldn't they?
Well, to understand the plunge in price, we have to look at the rigid physics of manufacturing and the ruthless restructuring of the supply chain.
Okay, walk me through the math.
In mass production, there's a widely accepted mathematical heuristic. If you manufacture 1,000 units of a complex machine, your average cost might sit at, let's say, roughly $100,000 per unit.
Okay, $100,000. Got it.
If you scale your assembly line to produce 10,000 units, the sheer volume allows you to drop that cost in half down to $50,000.
So 10 times the volume slices the price in two.
Yes. Yeah. And the holy grail of this cost curve is the 1 million unit mark.
What happens when you hit a million?
Hitting that threshold typically drops the cost by 70 to 80% from the starting point, pushing the price tag all the way down to the $20,000 to $30,000 range.
But where is all that money actually going? A robot isn't just a monolithic block of steel. If we dissect a standard, say, 1.6-meter humanoid, what does the receipt look like?
The breakdown might actually surprise you. The sensory systems, so the cameras and the LiDAR, they only account for about 12% of the total cost.
Really? That feels low.
It is. And the computing power, the brain of the robot, is highly commoditized thanks to the smartphone and PC industries. That only takes up about 8%.
Okay, so that's 20%.
Then the exterior housing, the wiring, and miscellaneous structural parts make up another 30%.
Wait, so 50% of the cost is entirely unaccounted for so far?
Yep. That remaining 50% lives entirely in the joints.
The joints.
Making a robot think is cheap. Making a robot move is incredibly expensive.
Oh, wow.
Breaking it down even further, rotary actuators consume 32% of the budget, and linear actuators and screws make up 18%.
So over 80% of the cost of physical movement is tied up in just the drive components.
Exactly.
Wait, make that make sense for me. If this 10x volume math is a universal rule of manufacturing, then every major robotics firm in the US, Europe, and Japan is looking at the exact same spreadsheet.
They are.
So what unique weapon do Chinese manufacturers have that allows them to slide down that cost curve so much faster than everyone else?
The weapon is extreme, aggressive localization of parts.
Meaning they stop importing.
Right. They didn't just build bigger factories. They completely ripped out the imported supply chain and replaced it with domestic alternatives.
Can you give me an example?
Take frameless torque motors. These are the really powerful compact motors driving the main joints. By pivoting to domestic suppliers, manufacturers slashed the cost by 30%.
That's a huge cut.
And precision reducers, which are the gears necessary for smooth, controlled joint movement, used to be a massive bottleneck. Less than 10% were made domestically in China at one point.
And now?
In a very short window, that domestic production share shut up to 45%.
I actually noted one specific component story in the research that really stood out as the smoking gun for this price crash.
The planetary roller screws.
Yes, let's explain what those do because the name is a mouthful.
It is.
As I understand it, a motor naturally wants to spin in a circle, right? But to make a robotic leg bend and push off the ground, you need straight linear pushing motion, like a piston.
Right, you have to convert the motion.
So the planetary roller screw is the mechanical translator that turns that spinning circle into a straight, powerful push.
That is an excellent way to visualize it. And historically, because the friction tolerances inside those screws are so microscopic, they were essentially bespoke, handmade components.
Right, and the sources note they used to cost 12,000 yuan a piece.
Which is astronomical when you think about it.
Imagine needing a dozen of those for one robot. But then a massive dedicated factory in Hangzhou completely transitioned this from a handmade craft to a machine-processed, stamped-out commodity.
And do you remember what their target price point dropped to?
It was 635 yuan per screw.
You are looking at a 95% price drop on one of the most vital joint components in the machine.
It's unbelievable.
That means the complex hardware driving a robot's leg now costs less than a premium pair of running shoes.
That just makes zero sense to my brain, but the numbers are there.
And financial institutions see this trajectory accelerating even more. Morgan Stanley projected a further 16% drop in overall production costs through 2026.
Really? It can go lower.
Oh, yeah. More startlingly, they predict that by 2035, core component costs will plunge to just 30% of their 2025 levels.
Hold on, though. To make the mass production math work, you need the sheer volume of units actually rolling off the assembly line. Who is building at that scale right now?
Well, the manufacturing gap globally is vast. Based on their internal prospectus, Unitree claimed over 5,500 bipedal units shipped in 2025.
Okay.
And if you include their quadruped robot dogs, the volume surpasses 6,000. Contrast that with the major U.S. players at the same time, like Tesla's Optimus program, Figure AI, and Agility Robotics.
How many were they making?
At that point, those U.S. firms were producing roughly 150 units each per year.
So the biggest Western players combined aren't even making a dent in that 10,000 unit price drop threshold, while single Chinese companies are more than halfway there.
The volume disparity is very real, though I should note the industry is still fiercely debating who actually wears the crown.
How so?
Well, Omdia, an independent research firm, released a report ranking a totally different Chinese manufacturer, Agibot, as number one.
Oh, interesting.
They had them at 5,168 units and a 39% market share. But regardless of whether Unitree or Agibot is technically first, the indisputable takeaway here is that the scale of production in that localized ecosystem completely dwarfs the rest of the world.
What fascinates me is that the industry is iterating so frantically that nobody can even agree on a standardized cost breakdown.
Oh, totally. The numbers are all over the place.
Our sources show completely conflicting reports from different analysts. One firm claims screws make up 35% of the cost, while another argues the algorithm optimization is the heaviest financial burden.
Yeah, when a technology hasn't reached standardization, every manufacturer is essentially inventing their own blueprint.
Right.
Without a universal recipe, everyone's grocery bill looks entirely different.
Okay, let's follow the logic here. We have thousands of cheap, highly capable robots pouring out of these factories.
Right.
Naturally, you would assume they're being shipped straight to massive auto manufacturing plants or Amazon fulfillment warehouses to replace human labor.
That's the dream, right?
They aren't.
No, they're really not. And there's a very practical reason for that. Despite the allure of replacing warehouse workers, A factory floor is perhaps the most hostile environment possible for a startup's first-generation robot.
Why, though? Lifting a box repeatedly seems like the most basic task you could possibly give a machine.
Lifting a box is trivial.
Okay.
Lifting a box flawlessly, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, without a single microsecond of lag, is an engineering nightmare.
Ah, I see.
Modern factories demand 99.9% reliability. They tolerate zero downtime. Furthermore, a robot doesn't just operate in a vacuum. It must integrate seamlessly with the facility's manufacturing execution system.
The MES.
Exactly.
Which is basically the central nervous system of the factory.
Precisely. If a robot drops a box, it's not just a drop box. It triggers a cascade of errors in the MES that can literally halt a $100 million assembly line.
Yikes. So the stakes are incredibly high.
Very high. The capital required to optimize a startup robot to that level of flawless integration is astronomical.
So if you have thousands of cheap, imperfect robots, and the factories won't touch them yet, who is the customer?
You target the global research and education market.
Yeah.
AI developers. University labs.
The ultimate sandbox.
Precisely. A university lab doesn't need 99.9% reliability.
Right, they're just experimenting.
They just need a cheap, physical vessel to test their experimental algorithms. Mm. If the robot stumbles or a knee actuator burns out, it doesn't shut down a global logistics empire.
A graduate student simply grabs a wrench, swaps the part, and reboots it.
Exactly.
This brings us to Limex Dynamics, which is a Shenzhen-based company founded in 2022. They secured heavy funding from SAIC, the auto manufacturer NIO, and JD.com.
A lot of heavy hitters backing them.
Yeah. And in December 2025, they released a machine called the Tron 2, targeting this exact educational market. And this thing is a modular freak of nature.
The modularity is really its defining feature.
It morphs into three distinct forms. You have your standard bipedal walking mode, but then it has a wheeled leg mode. It basically puts on rollerblades, hitting speeds of 5 meters per second and fluidly clearing 20 centimeter steps.
That's incredibly fast for a robot.
And finally, you can detach the legs entirely and use it as a static robotic arm. Those arms have 7 degrees of freedom, a 70-centimeter reach, and can lift 60 kilograms.
Just a totally versatile platform.
Plus, it's powered by an Intel i7 with 2 terabytes of onboard storage. And the price for this multimodal platform...
What is it?
About $6,800.
That is an incredibly low barrier to entry for top-tier universities.
But here is the absolute genius of it. This isn't just a hardware sale. This is the Android playbook applied to physical machines.
That's a great way to frame it.
Limex isn't trying to sell mechanical laborers. They are selling $6,800 pencils to the students who are going to write the software of the future. Think about the lock-in strategy.
Well, it's brilliant.
You get the brightest engineering students at global universities used to your specific API, your specific control software. 4 years later, that student graduates and gets hired as a lead automation engineer at a massive logistics company. When it's time to order a fleet of commercial robots, what are they going to demand?
They're going to demand the hardware they already spend thousands of hours programming.
Exactly.
It is a pure ecosystem play. And it explains why universities around the world, from Oxford to Stanford to Carnegie Mellon, are currently writing their cutting-edge robotics papers based entirely on Chinese hardware.
It's a Trojan horse.
The hardware is simply the Trojan horse for the software ecosystem. Engine AI is another prime example of this aggressive market seeding.
Engine AI was founded in October 2023 by Zhao Tang Yang, who actually used to lead the humanoid program at the EV company XPeng.
Right.
In under a year, they released a flurry of models. But I want to focus on their SE01 model because it had a viral moment that fundamentally proved how software is just eating the mechanical engineering world.
The SE01's gate was a total revelation.
Explain that for us.
Well, to appreciate why, you have to picture how early bipedal robots walked. They constantly maintained heavily bent knees using this crouched, hydraulic heavy, incredibly unnatural stride.
Why did they walk like that? It always looks so awkward.
Because keeping the center of gravity permanently low is the easiest way to mathematically prevent the robot from falling over.
Ah, okay.
Writing the hard-coded physics equations for a natural, straight-legged human stride, where you are essentially falling forward and catching yourself with every single step, is brutally complex.
But Engine AI didn't try to write that math, did they?
No, they didn't. They used an end-to-end neural network. Instead of manually programming individual joint angles, they fed the neural network massive amounts of data on human movement and just let the algorithm teach itself how to balance.
Oh, wow.
The result was the SE01 walking with straight knees, taking natural strides, with a fluid, human-like sway in its torso.
It's the ultimate proof that an incredible software brain can compensate for and elevate cheap hardware. And Engine AI priced their educational model, the SA01, at roughly $5,400. That's 38,500 yuan. We are now officially down to the price of a high-end gaming laptop.
Which is bonkers.
They seed that cheap tech to the labs, let the students build incredible walking algorithms basically for free, and then integrate that polished software into their premium commercial models, which sell for $20,000 to $30,000.
The strategy is brilliant in a vacuum, but it leads directly to the darkest, most volatile aspect of the industry right now.
Because if this Trojan horse strategy works for Unitree and Limex and Engine AI, what happens when 140 different companies attempt the exact same playbook simultaneously?
It creates an economic trap. There is a specific Chinese term that encapsulates this dilemma perfectly.
What's the term?
Niwan, which translates to involution.
Involution, meaning curling inward.
Exactly. It describes a hypersensitive, suffocating environment where participants are locked in fierce competition that doesn't actually expand the market or create new value.
The pie isn't getting bigger.
Right. The pie isn't getting bigger. Everyone is just cannibalizing each other to slice it thinner. As of the sources we're looking at for this deep dive, there are over 140 different humanoid robot manufacturers churning out more than 330 largely indistinguishable models.
330 models doing the exact same thing.
Many of these startups are surviving purely on the fumes of venture capital and local government subsidies.
Just to stay afloat.
Yeah, they are frantically pumping out hollow, unoptimized hardware for the sole purpose of undercutting their neighbor's price tag to secure that university lock-in.
The numbers definitely back that up.
Yeah.
Unitree released their R1 model in July 2025 for about $5,500. Then another company, Boomi, shattered the floor completely, dropping their price below 10,000 yuan.
Which is under $1,400.
It is a suicidal race to the bottom.
And this extreme involution has triggered severe alarm bells at the macroeconomic level.
Even the government is stepping in, right?
Yes. The National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC in China, issued public warnings regarding massive overcapacity in the robotics sector. They cautioned that this relentless price war is dangerously compressing the profit margins required to fund actual, meaningful research and development.
The irony is palpable there. The government heavily subsidized the sector to stimulate growth, and now they're forced to warn the industry that it's literally building itself to death.
But if we look past the immediate carnage of these failing hardware startups, the brutal involution makes strategic sense for the true titans of the industry.
How so?
The smartest players know that the physical robot is just a loss leader. Selling a titanium knee joint for a 2% profit margin is not the end goal.
So what is the goal?
The prize that justifies this entire hardware bloodbath is platform hegemony.
They want to own the operating system.
That is the real war. Companies like Agibot with their Yuansheng ecosystem or Alibaba pushing their Quen robot suite, they aren't fighting to be the metal legs.
Right.
They want to be the Windows, the IRS, or the Android of the physical world. They want to establish the foundational software platform that every roboticist in every lab globally is forced to operate on.
So what does this actually mean for you listening right now?
That's the big question.
Let's bring this all the way back to your couch and that e-commerce checkout page we started with. We have tracked a staggering technological acceleration today.
We really have.
We watched a 99,000 yuan robot take literal punches in a boxing ring just to prove that failure was finally affordable. We looked inside the Hangzhou factories where massive 95% price drops on once bespoke metal screws are just rewriting the math of mass production.
Dropping the price to less than running shifts.
Exactly. And we explored the university labs at Stanford and Oxford, where an army of startups are virtually giving away hardware just to control the software future.
The transition from a delicate million-dollar research asset to an accessible, rugged commodity happened in the blink of an eye.
And here's the core takeaway. When a humanoid robot eventually arrives on your front porch, and at $5,400, it is a when, not an if. You won't care who forged the metal legs or who manufactured the battery cells.
Not at all.
Just like today, you rarely care who built the internal antenna inside your smartphone. You only care about the ecosystem. You only interact with the intelligence powering its brain.
The physical machine is ultimately just a disposable vessel for the software platform.
Which leaves us with a final, slightly unsettling concept to mull over.
Uh-oh. Lay it on us.
If this brutal self-cannibalizing price war forces dozens of these brilliant hardware startups into bankruptcy, and the dust settles, leaving only one or two massive software giants controlling the undisputed Android of robotics.
Right.
Who truly owns the physical actions of the machine standing in your kitchen? If a giant tech monopoly's operating system is fundamentally pulling the strings, does the human buyer actually own the robot? Or are you just renting a physical avatar for an AI giant?